بالله من الشيطان الرجيم. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. والمؤمنون والمؤمنات بعضهم أولياء بعض يأمرون بالمعروف وينهون عن المنكر ويقيمون الصلاة ويؤتون الزكاة ويطيعون الله ورسوله أولئك سيرحمهم الله إن الله عزيز حكيم. وعد الله المؤمنين والمؤمنات جنات تجري من تحتها الأنهار خالدين فيها ومساكن طيبة في جنات عدن ورضوان من الله أكبر ذلك هو الفوز العظيم.
صدق الله العظيم. The recitation that you just heard is from Surah At-Tawbah, which is the ninth surah, the only surah that does not begin with Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. And I am reading from Yusuf Ali, page 461, verses 71 and 72. The believers, men and women, are protectors one of another. They enjoin what is just and forbid what is evil. They observe regular prayers, practice regular charity, and obey Allah and His Apostle. On them will Allah pour His mercy. For Allah is exalted in power, wise. Allah has promised to believers, men and women, gardens under which rivers flow to dwell therein, and beautiful mansions in gardens of everlasting bliss. But the greatest bliss is the good pleasure of Allah. That is the supreme felicity. What Allah has spoken is the truth. Thank you for responding tonight to our current lecture in the series entitled Islam in Perspective. As you know, this evening's lecture is entitled Islamic Brotherhood, the Duties of One Muslim to Another. And our guest speaker is Brother Dawood Adib, who is currently a student at the University of Medina. And we take great pride in having him here because he is one of our own, right from our midst, one who is studying overseas to increase his knowledge in Allah's deen and is actively bringing the information back to us so that we can use it positively in our lives. And that is really one of the main thrusts of this lecture series, Islam in Perspective, to present to you information that you can take and use immediately in your own lives to better your own personal situation and to better the community life also. Because to just listen to someone come here and give you a lecture and just think of just beautiful words and not put it into practice, this is not the best way to attack the problem. This is not the best way to use the information. We do it like the companions of Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam did. They only studied 10 verses at a time. And they didn't proceed on to any other verses until they had thoroughly memorized and understood these verses and applied them in their own personal lives. And that, inshallah, is what we wish to do and wish for you to do in this lecture series. I'm sure you don't want to listen to me. I think we should bring on Brother Dawood Adib and let him talk about tonight's subject, Islamic Brotherhood, Duties of one Muslim to another. And it's with great pleasure that I present to you our brother in Islam to speak to you tonight.
أن الحمد لله نحمده ونستعينه ونؤمن به ونعوذ بالله من شرور أنفسنا ومن سيئات أعمالنا من يهده الله فلا مضل له ومن يضلل فلا هادي له وأشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له وأشهد أن محمدا عبده ورسوله اللهم صل على سيدنا ونبينا محمد وعلى آله وأصحابه أجمعين السلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته. All praise is due to Allah. We laud Him, beseech His help, and in Him we believe. And we seek the refuge with Allah from the mischievousness of our souls and the wrongdoings of all of our actions. Whoever Allah guides, no one can lead him astray. And whoever Allah leaves to be left astray, it is because of some misunderstanding or disease in their own hearts and minds. No one will be able to guide them. And I bear witness publicly that there is nothing worthy of worship as a deity except Allah. He is alone, He has no partners. And I bear witness that Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is his servant and his messenger. May the peace and blessings of Allah be upon him, Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and his family, and his companions, all of them, and all those who follow their methodology until the last day. This particular subject is a very important subject for us in Islam. Because Allah has given us the gift of hidayah, of guidance, and He has given us the gift of Islam. Part and parcel with that gift is brotherhood. He has given us each other. And the proof of that, and hopefully for these brief minutes, we'll try to use as a guideline one surah from the Quran, which is the 49th surah of the Quran, entitled Al-Hujurat. And this translation, the private apartment. This particular surah is pregnant with examples, concepts, ideologies, for lack of better words, philosophies, on how the Muslims, both male and female, past and present, to live their lives. It deals with, firstly, the position of the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam in the first verses. How Allah taught the believers, past and present, how to respect the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Because at that time, before these verses were revealed, the Muslims used to call the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam by his name, Muhammad. Ya Muhammad, O Muhammad. Like he was an ordinary man. Though he was a human being, he's not an ordinary man. He's a Nabi and a Rasul sallallahu alaihi wasallam. So Allah, in His infinite wisdom and mercy, and educating the Muslims, which we are, the Muslims, and part of the Ummah of Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, He taught the companions, both male and female, how to address the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. This surah also deals with the education of the Muslims regarding those who are evil, those who do wrong deeds, the non-Muslims who at some times lie and are deceptive. So when they bring news to the believers, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala then revealed this verse in connection with the actions of some misguided people at that time, that if an evil liver, if one of the fasiqoon comes to you, O believers, then verify what they bring. Check it out. For a lot of reasons, but one basic reason is to keep the Muslims from becoming divided. To nip it in the bud, any rancor, any hatred, anything evil that may be sown among the ranks of the believers. And then Allah goes on addressing the believers again. The believers, those Muslims who believe in Allah, addressing the believers with a very simple but profound statement. Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. Innamal mu'minuna ikhwa. Innamal mu'minuna ikhwa. The believers are nothing else but brothers. And this word ikhwa here means both male believers and female believers. Allah is not chauvinistic. وَلِعَذُ بِاللَّهِ We seek refuge with Allah from those type of thoughts and statements. Allah is not chauvinistic. إِنَّمَا الْمُؤْمِنُونَ الْإِخْوَةِ The believers, male and female, are brothers. Nothing else but brothers. And the surah goes on, teaching the Muslims not to fall into the major sin of backbiting. The major sin of backbiting. The major sin of backbiting. Not minor sin, major sin of backbiting and slander. But Allah continues saying, O you who believe. He still calls the Muslims believers. Now for those of you who may have memorized the surah or have the Quran in front of you, you notice that I skipped a verse in the general presentation of this surah, which says the meaning of the translation, and if two parties of believers fall to fighting, then make peace between them. I skipped that for a reason. Inshallah, we'll come back to that as we go along. And then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in this gracious surah says, O you who believe, again, O you who believe, Ya ayyuha alladhina amanu, اجتنبوا كثيرا من الظن. Stay away, far, far away from suspicion. Allah continues to educate us. Because إن بعض الظن إثم. Some suspicion is a sin. So Allah continuously educates us. And then, and we'll end this here, but this is not the end of the surah, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in His infinite wisdom and mercy and guidance says, Ya ayyuha nas. He says, O human beings. Didn't say, O believers. Said, Ya ayyuha nas. Inna khalaqnakum min zakarin wa untha. We have created you male and female. Now, He's already addressed the believers. Now He's bringing it all the way back to the human beings in general. We have created you male and female. وَجَعَلْنَاكُمْ شُعُوبًا وَقَبَائِلٍ And we have made you nations and tribes لِتَعَارَفُوا So that you may know each other. And some people, in explaining this, like to add the words, and not despise each other. He's already said that the believers are nothing but brothers. And elsewhere in the Quran, he says that the believers are brothers of each other and friends of each other. And they should not take the disbelievers as friends besides the believers. But here he says, O human beings. He reminds the human being that he created us from male and female. Or created us as male and female. And that he created us in nations and tribes so that we may get to know each other. This is a mutual contract that we have. A mutual undertaking. لِتَعَارَفُوا And then Allah says, إِنَّ أَكْرَمَكُمْ عِنْدَ اللَّهِ أَتْقَاكُمْ إِنَّ اللَّهَ عَلِيمٌ خَبِيرٌ Surely the noblest, the most honored, the most honorable of all of you, believers, male and female, after all of those things that Allah mentioned in His gracious surah, Surah Al-Hujurat, the 49th chapter of the Quran, the most noblest of you in the estimation of Allah, with Allah, He's not looking at your color, that you're African-American, or you're Caucasian, or you're Indian, or you're Pakistani, or you're from Yugoslavia, or from the moon, or wherever. There may be some believers on the moon, Allahu A'lam. The most noble of you
is the one who has taqwa. If the sister has more taqwa than the brother, that's only known by Allah, then she is more noble than that brother. If the Caucasian brother has more taqwa than his African-American brother in Islam, then that's all that Allah is caring about. That's all he's concerned with. According to Ibn al-Qayyim, one of the great scholars of the past, he said that the Quran, or the revelation of Allah, the wahi, was revealed in two parts. Revelation was revealed in two parts, the word and the meaning. The word is the Quran, the best speech, and the meaning is the authentic sunnah and hadith of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says in the Quran, the translated meaning, that the messenger of Allah does not speak of his own desire. So when we see an authentic hadith, we know that this is revelation. There's no argument with that. It is a part of revelation. It is, in fact, revelation. Authentic hadith and sunnah. And one of those additional gifts that Allah has given us is a statement of the messenger of Allah on the authority of Anas, and Anas radiallahu anhu, who was Khadim al-Rasul, the servant of the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. He lived in the house of the Messenger of Allah as a household member, like a blood relation, though he wasn't. He said, قَالَ رَسُولُ اللَّهِ صَلَّى اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ وَسَلَّمْ. And many of us have probably memorized this hadith, لَا يُؤْمِنُ أَحَدُكُمْ حَتَّى يُحِبَّ لِأَخِيهِ مَا يُحِبُّ لِهِ. رواه البخاري ومسلم. He said that the Messenger of Allah said, and they translated it as, you are not, none among you will be a true believer until he wants or desires a love for his brother, Muslim, that which he loves for himself. This hadith is unquestionably sahih, collected by Bukhari, Al-Bukhari, wa Muslim, the most authentic book after the Quran, Al-Kareem, the glorious Quran. To give a quick sharah, or a quick commentary of this hadith, the scholars of hadith say that when the Prophet of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, "La yu'minu ahadukum," none of you are believers, it doesn't mean that if you don't care for your brother or your sister in Islam, that you are kafir. It doesn't mean that. Get that out of your mind. It doesn't mean that you're kafir, but it means that you don't have iman kamil, that you don't have complete, perfected iman. Why? Because Allah says in Surah Al-Hujurat, إِنَّمَا الْمُؤْمِنُونَ إِخْوَةً, that the believers are nothing but brothers. And for those of us who are studying the Arabic language, when we study the Arabic grammar, we learn that this إِنَّمَا is called مَقْصُور or مَحْصُور, that it restricts something to something else. It restricts. It's an hindrance. They call it an article of hindrance. Excuse me, a particle of hindrance. So when Allah said innama, it means that the believers are nothing but that, brothers and sisters, nothing else. But how close can you get? You can't get any closer than that. You cannot get any closer than brothers. So we are gifts to each other. And this short speech is about the duties of one brother and one sister to another brother and to another sister. And we'll try to make it as brief as possible. I'd like to quote one of the great scholars of Islam, who was a faqih, a scholar of fiqh, and an usuli, a scholar of usul fiqh, among other things, and a very pious spiritual man. His name was Al-Ghazali, Imam Al-Ghazali. And I quote from his book, Duties of Brotherhood. And if you have this book, though he was a great scholar of Islam, rahimahullah, may Allah have mercy on him, sit with someone who knows hadith, because many of the hadith and stories in his book are weak, and sometimes forged, or sometimes even fairy tales. But nonetheless, he did say some authentic things, and things that we can benefit from. And please listen closely to this. And I'm speaking to myself first. because I'm also a brother to myself, just as you who are brothers are brothers to yourself, and you who are sisters to yourself. And my ears are closer to me than they are to you, so I'm speaking to myself first. He said, know that the contract of brotherhood is a bond between two persons. You believers, he said, listen, know that the contract of brotherhood is a bond between two persons, like the contract of marriage between two spouses. For just as marriage gives rise to certain duties which must be fulfilled when it is entered into, so does the contract of brotherhood confer upon your brother a certain right touching your property, your person, your tongue, and your heart, by way of forgiveness, prayer, sincerity, loyalty, relief, and considerateness. End of quote. These words are very beautiful. And those of us who have, as they say down south, a T90 bit of Iman in their heart, a mustard seed size of Iman in their heart, these words should really have an effect on us. Before we go into the theoretical aspects of brotherhood and sisterhood in Islam and duties of brother to another, let's look at what we've been doing or how we've been acting or how even we have been thinking about our brothers and sisters in Islam. I reiterate, before we go into the theoretical aspect, let's just think about as close as an hour ago what you thought about that sister that just walked by you or that brother that's sitting next to you. What did you say about him in your mind or to another brother, Allah forbid, or another sister just yesterday? Was it something good or was it something that you could have avoided saying or even doing? The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, as he already has said, أحسن الهدي هدي محمد. The best guidance is the guidance of the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And in the hadith of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and for those of you who can, I chose this book. This book is Matan al-Arba'een al-Isqilani, 40 hadith of Imam al-Sheikh al-Muhaddith Al-Faqih, Al-Mufassir, was a scholar of Hadith, and he was a Faqih, scholar of Fiqh, and he was a scholar of Tafsir, among other things. His name was Ibn al-Hajr al-Asqalani, rahimahullah, may Allah have mercy on him. And he is the one who, among other things, wrote a very voluminous collection of books, which is known as Fath al-Bari, which is the commentary of Bukhari, the most authentic commentary of Al-Bukhari. And this is the 40 hadith of Imam Al-Asqalani. I chose this one, and maybe you can find it. It's not Imam An-Nawawi. We're familiar with the other 40 hadith, but this is Imam Al-Asqalani. And I chose this book because he, the person who compiled this book, took the majority of the hadith in this book are about duties of brother to another. And I'd like to quote a few of the hadith, reminding you, this is not the theoretical part now. This is a reminder before we start. The Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, on the authority of Abu Huraira radiallahu anhu, the English translation for sake of time, that the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, and this is a commandment from the Messenger of Allah, and we have to obey his commandments, don't feel envy towards one another. He's commanding you. And we already know that Allah says in the Quran, وَمَا آتَكَمَ الرَّسُولُ فَخُذُوهُ وَمَا نَهَاكُمْ عَنْهُ فَانْتَهُ. Whatever the Messenger of Allah gives you, take it. And whatever he forbids, abstain from it. You are commanded to do this. You don't have a choice. If you're a believer, you don't have a choice. If you're other than a believer, then you do what you want to do. He said, don't feel envy towards one another. Don't outbid one another in order to raise the prices. Oh, you vendors. Oh, you merchants. Oh, you salesmen and women. Don't outbid one another in order to raise the price. Don't bear enmity against one another. Don't sever relationships. Don't sever relations of kinship. Don't enter into a transaction when others have already entered into that transaction. And, he said, وَكُونُوا عِبَادَ اللَّهِ and be servants, worshippers of Allah, إِخْوَانًا, as brothers. And be as brothers to one another and servants of Allah. الْمُسْلِمُ أَخُو الْمُسْلِمُ The believer or the Muslim is the brother of a Muslim. And then he said with his blessed tongue and lips, لَا يَظْلِمُهُ وَلَا يَخْذِلُهُ وَلَا يَحْقِرُهُ التَّقْوَى هَاهُنَا And he pointed, وَيُشِيرُ إِلَى صَدْرِهِ ثَلَاثَ مَرَّاتٍ He pointed to his chest. He said three times, taqwa is here. Taqwa is here. Taqwa is here. He said he neither oppresses him, he neither forsakes him, nor humiliates him. He neither oppresses him, nor forsakes him, nor humiliates him. And piety, taqwa is here. Very beautiful words, not to be taken as just beautiful words. We should eat these words, masticate them properly, and digest them, and regurgitate them in our actions. This is the instruction of the Messenger of Allah, sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And then, the Messenger of Allah, sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and I would hope that all of you run out and try to find this book, and maybe keep it with you, or memorize it. Keep it in your car, your dashboard, or wherever. Then the Messenger of Allah, sallallahu alaihi wasallam, said, on the authority of Anas, radiallahu anhu, he said, help your brother, whether he is the oppressor or the oppressed. Now the other hadith, he said, don't oppress your brother. Now he says, help your brother, whether he's an oppressor or he's oppressed. Is this a contradiction? Is this ta'arib? No, this is not a contradiction. What does it mean? Alhamdulillah, the Messenger of Allah didn't leave us hanging. He explained it. When the man said, oh, Messenger of Allah, I can see how we should help him if he's oppressed. But how do we help him if he is the oppressor? The Messenger of Allah said, تَحْجِزُهُ أَوْ تَمْنَعُهُ Prevent him. Prevent him from doing wrong things. That is the help. Prevent her from doing wrong things. You see how all the things of Islam is tying together? Change the wrong if you see it with your hands, and if you can't, then change it with your tongue. And if you can't do that, then at least hate it in your heart. That's the least of faith. That's the weakest of faith. Everything ties in. This is proof again that the hadith of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, the authentic hadith and sunnah, is a part of revelation. How do you help your brother or sister when they are the oppressor? You should prevent him or her from doing those things. Then, the Messenger of Allah, or along with that, he said, on the authority of Udhaifa, radiallahu anhu, one of the great companions of the Prophet, he said, لا يدخل الجنة نمام. But the slanderer will not enter paradise. لا يدخل الجنة نمام. رواه البخاري ومسلم. The slanderer will not enter paradise. Now Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has promised, and Allah doesn't break his promise. And this was the verse that we recited to open up this discussion. That Allah has promised Jannah to the believer. Is this ta'arid? Is this a contradiction? Allah says, that the person who slanders will not enter paradise. But he said the believers will enter paradise. He promised this. And what is slander? What is backbiting? As Allah mentions in Surah Hujurat. When you speak something that is not pleasing to your brother or sister, they would not like to hear it if they were in your presence, and it's untrue, or it's true, excuse me, then that's backbiting. If it's untrue, then it's slander. And slander is that thing that human beings, they sold these tales, they carry these tales, these stories, among the ranks of the believers, one to the other, with the intention of causing ifsad, of causing corruption among the ranks of the believers. So the Messenger of Allah said, لا يدخل الجنة نمام. The person who does this, they're not going to paradise. So these hadiths and others that we hope to recite are very important for us. They're very, very important for us in understanding our duty as brothers and sisters to another. Now once again, and please keep in mind what I mentioned about Imam Ghazali, may Allah have mercy on his soul, rahimahullah. He says in his book, in an attempt to explain the hadith, you are not a believer until you love for your brother what you love for yourself. He says it is in 3 degrees. The lowest degree is where you place your brother on the same footing as your slave or your servant. Okay? Attending to his need from your surplus. Some need befalls him when you have more than you require to satisfy your own. So you give spontaneously, not obliging him to ask. To oblige him to ask is the ultimate shortcoming in brotherly duty. He said that's the first degree, the lowest degree. And don't raise your hands and confess. We're not Catholics if you're doing this. Just raise your hand in your heart if you're like this. He said the second degree, or the middle degree, is you place your brother on the same footing as yourself. You're content to have him as a partner in your property and to treat him like yourself, to the point of letting him share it equally. To the point of letting him or her share it equally. Some of us, no doubt, are doing this. Some of us are at the second level. Alhamdulillah. And alhamdulillah for the lowest degree. But according to Imam Ghazali, in his opinion, the third and highest degree is you prefer your brother to yourself and set his need before your own. When the Muhajirun, the people who made migration from Mecca to Medina, radiallahu anhum ajma'een, may Allah be pleased with them all, when they left Mecca and went to Medina and were greeted with warmth and tenderness by the Ansar, radiallahu anhum ajma'een, may Allah be pleased with them all, in Medina, the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam almost immediately joined one Muhajir with an Ansar. This is your brother. Abdullah, you hang out with Abdul Hakim. That's your homeboy. This is what he did. They didn't even know each other. One may have been from Ethiopia, the other one may have been an Arab. One may have been from Persian, the other one may have been Roman. One may have been formerly a Jew, and the other one a Persian. And he linked them together. The wisdom of the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. He linked them together. Why? إِنَّمَا الْمُؤْمِنُونَ إِخْوَةٌ. Because the believers are nothing but brothers. And one story in that incident, when the Prophet did that, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, one of the great eminent Sahabi of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, whose name was Abdul Rahman ibn Auf. May Allah be pleased with him. Who was also one of the 10 individuals who was promised by Allah's Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, Jannah. The Messenger of Allah said it while this man was still living. So-and-so is in Jannah. Abu Bakr is in Jannah. Umar is in Jannah. Uthman is in Jannah. Ali is in Jannah. Abdul Rahman ibn Auf is in Jannah. This is one of those individuals. When he made this brother in Islam from the Ansar a brother, a homeboy, a partner, a companion to his Muhajir friend, Abdul Rahman. This brother said to Abdul Rahman ibn Auf, radiallahu anhum, I have this house. You can have part of my house. Take any part of my house you want. I have this much property and wealth. And the man was rich. He was rich. He says, I have this much property. You can have half of it. I have these many fine camels, the best of camels. You can have half of it. Just met him. All he knew was that he was a Muslim. And some of them saying, I want to hear this one. He went as far as saying, I have two wives. Listen to what he said now. He didn't think in his mind, I'm going to keep the best one for me though. He said, which one do you want? Which one do you want? I'll divorce her and let you have her. I will divorce her and let you have her. Radiallahu anhum ajma'in. This is why they're the best generation. This is the reason. I'm not telling the brothers to go out and do this now. Please, I'm not telling the brothers to go out and do this. But this is the thinking that we should have. And this is not extremism. This is not extremism. وَلِيَعْذُ بِاللَّهِ Because the companions of the Messenger of Allah were not extremists. If we want to learn how to live Islam correctly, and specifically how to be a brother, the best example as an individual is the Messenger of Allah, Muhammad ibn Abdullah, and anyone who believes that someone outside of him is a better example, they are kafir. I say it again, if anyone believes or thinks that anyone has better guidance than the Messenger of Allah, they are a kafir. They have nullified their Islam. He is the best example as an individual. Sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. The best example as a community are the companions in general. There's no better example, and there won't be till Yawm al-Qiyamah. There won't be any people as the best example for us as a community to live Islam than the companions of the Messenger of Allah. He said the best generation is my generation, and then those after them, and then those after them. And specifically, the best examples as a community of men are the male Sahaba, and the best examples as females are the female Sahaba, the wives, and the wives of the Prophet, and the wives of the companions of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. I have two wives. Which one do you want? I'll divorce her and you can have her. He put his brother over him. And Abdul Rahman ibn Auf said, no, just show me where the marketplace is and I'll get my own. I'll work for myself. I'll get all of these things for myself. And those of us who read this sirah, this history, this biography, know that's exactly what he did. This man was extremely rich. He eventually became an extremely rich man. In fact, he left Medina rich, or left Mecca rich. So, according to this illustrious scholar, Imam Ghazali, he has divided into three degrees. He also, in another narration, went on to say, when someone asked him, what is the meaning of the hadith? لا يؤمن أحدكم حتى يحب لأخيه ما يحب لنفسه. You're not a believer. Your belief is not kamil. Your belief is not perfect. It's not complete until you love for your brother or desire for your brother or your sister what you love for yourself. He was asked, what is the meaning of this? And he gave a story about a man who had rodents, mice in his house. And he wanted to get rid of them. So someone said, I have some Decon or Black Flag or whatever they used back then, some things of getting rid of these rodents. You can use this. And the person who had the rodents in his house said, no, I don't want to use that. Know why? His reasoning was, because if I use it, the rodents will leave my house and go to the house of my brother. He will leave my house. I will be rid of them, but he'll go to the adjoining houses, the houses of my Muslim brothers on the left and right of me. He put his brother above himself. We have some Jannatul Na'im oil in our pockets, brothers, and some of that other stuff that those people in overseas like Oud. It smells like furniture polish to me. But we have Oud in one pocket and Jannatul Na'im, your favorite oil in your pocket. And you offer the brother the Oud, the bad smelling one. You won't give him the Jannatul Na'im, you give him the Oud. We're laughing, but this is bad. This is really bad. You got two sets of Bukhari hadith, sisters. You can't read both of them at the same time. One that you got for a dowry. Oh, we won't even use that because you're not supposed to give that away. And you can. It's up to you. But one was given to you as a gift, or you bought it when you became a Muslim 16, 18, 20 years ago. And then you have a new set. Nice and green and red, and the binding is all, oh, it's just beautiful. And someone needs Bukhari because they can't afford it. You give them the raggedy one. This is not the meaning of brotherhood and sisterhood in Islam. You give them the raggedy one. And some Muslims, you know, may Allah be with them, they make up some story and attribute it to Islam. That's the one with the barakat in it, brother. Give them the old one. That's the one that's been used. No, don't say that. Don't lie on Islam. Give them the good set. This is the meaning. This is the meaning of brotherhood in Islam. This is the meaning of brotherhood in Islam. So Imam Ghazali, he goes on. He says, we have a first duty to the believer, who are our brothers and sisters in Islam. The first one is material. And these basically don't need any explanation. The first one is material. One hand washes the other. Your brother or sister needs clothes, give them clothes. Give them that silk dress and you keep the cotton one. If you want to be at the third degree. If you want to be at the second degree, maybe you can go out and buy another cotton one. If you want to be at the first degree, I'm not even going to explain that. You decide. That's on you. I don't even want to deal with the first degree. That Imam Ghazali said, rahimahullah. But he said the first duty, in his opinion, based on what he understood from Quran and Sunnah, is material. It's a material need. The second one, he said, is to render personal aid in the satisfaction of needs. To render personal aid in the satisfaction of needs, attending to them without waiting to be asked. Attending to them without waiting to be asked. Giving them priority over private needs. Now, once again, Muslims are not to become extremists. We don't want to become extremists because we have to take care of our families, brothers. Our families come first. In fact, your wife is your sister in Islam. One of the proofs is the verse from Quran, and another proof is the story of the Prophet Ibrahim, alayhi salatu wasalam, when some people, when he was traveling with his wife Sarah, alayhi salam, some people who just like to cause corruption or violate married women, when they were confronted with these tyrannical individuals, they asked Ibrahim alayhi salam, Khalilullah, alayhi salatu wasalam, may Allah's peace and blessing be upon him, who is she? He says, hiya ukhti. She's my sister. This was his wife. Hiya ukhti. She's my sister. So this is additional proof that your brother, that your husband and your wife are your brother and sister in Islam. And we have a story where a man was having problems with his wife. And the people were nosy, acting other than brothers and sisters in Islam, but they were nosy. And they asked the man, his personal business with the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, said, don't talk about those things, your private lives like that. They asked about his wife. He said, I'm not in the habit of talking about my wife to strangers. I don't do that. Then eventually, as things happened, they got a divorce. So they rushed to the man and asked him, please tell us now, what was she about? What did she used to do? He said, I'm not in the habit of talking about my sister in Islam. I'm not in the habit of talking about my sister in Islam. So your wife and your husband, your children, have a strengthen an additional bond, because they're not only your husband and your wife and your children, they are your brother in Islam. So when you get mad at her, brother, husband, when you get angry, which is from Shaitan, sometimes we go off the deep end. We don't even give them salam. Just come in the house. Okay, you may not want to treat her like your wife, but you still are duty bound to give her the salam. Because this is one of the rights that a believer has over another believer, that a brother Muslim has over a sister Muslim, and vice versa. So even if you lose a little bit upstairs, get a little static in the attic, and go crazy, and don't want to treat her as a wife, you still have the obligation to treat her as your sister in Islam. Because she's your sister and your wife. Imam Ghazali goes on and he says the third duty concerns the tongue. And the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, I will guarantee any of you paradise if you can control, if you can guard, protect that which is between the jawbone and the thighs. That which is between the jawbone and the thighs. I will guarantee that you will go to paradise. For Imam Ghazali says, the third duty concerns the tongue. And Allah has already explained it in Surah Al-Hujurat. Ya ayyuha alladhina amanu ijtanibu kathiran min al-dhann. O you who believe, shun much suspicion. For surely suspicion is a sin sometimes. And spy not, neither backbite one another. Would you like to eat the flesh of, would he like to eat the flesh of his dead brother? Why didn't Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala say, would he like to eat the flesh of his dead Muslim? Why did he say, would he like an yakula lahma akhihi maytan? Would he like to eat the flesh of his brother? Why? Because the connection of word, the word brother hits home. It hits home to us. Wow. You know, eating the flesh of your brother. He's dead and you go over to him like a carnivorous animal and you eat his flesh or you eat her flesh. And I reiterate, this is a major sin. This is not a minor sin. This is a major sin. Rectifiable only by tawbah. And tawbah has to be nufuh. It has to be sincere tawbah, meaning that you will tell Allah, oh Allah, I will not do this again, with the intention in your heart, a pure intention that you will not go to that act again. And Allah knows what's in our heart. So the third duty, he says, concerns the tongue, which should sometimes be silent and other times speak out. Because in some cases, backbiting is not only halal, it is farz. It is obligatory. And we need to learn these things. Sometimes it is obligatory to do what we call backbiting, but then it's not backbiting. Regarding silence, it's summed up in one simple hadith. And Abi Hurairah radiallahu anhu qala Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, من كان يؤمن بالله واليوم الآخر فليقل خيرا أو ليصمت. رواه البخاري ومسلم. Who, the Messenger of Allah said, whoever believes in Allah and the last day, let him speak good or shut up. I can say that. I can translate it like that. Don't get hysterical. I can translate it like that. ليصمت. Or be silent. Be quiet. If you don't have anything good to say, then be quiet. Because the tongue should not mention a brother or sister's fault in his absence or in his presence. One of the wives of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam was short in stature. I believe it was Safiya radhiyallahu anha. I believe it was her. Or Maymuna. I forget which one. And Aisha radhiyallahu anha said, or used to say to her, Ya Qasira, oh you short one. And the Messenger of Allah, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, in instructing the Muslims, that past and present, warned her and admonished her, O Aisha, radiallahu anha, what you have just said, if you were to take that statement and put it into the ocean, into the sea, it would distort the color, it would corrupt it, it would change the color, it would pollute it, what you just said. And she went on and said, but Messenger of Allah, she is short. And he explained to her that you should not describe your brother and sister like that. Say good things, even though it's true, because it may offend them. So we should guard our tongue when dealing with our brother and sister in Islam. Regarding speaking out, the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, one time he was the guardian of a woman, I think her name was Fatima bint Qais, radiallahu anha, I think this was her name. She was seeking marriage. And two people she had in mind. One of them was one of the sons of Abu Sufyan. And she said, I want to marry Abu Sufyan. And the Messenger of Allah, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, said, don't marry him because he carries a stick on his shoulder. And I think this doesn't need any explanation. You know what this means. He used to beat the women of his household. She said, don't marry him. Is this backbiting? No. This censorship is halal. In fact, it is wajib. It's obligatory. Then she said, well, what about so-and-so? He said, don't marry him because his fist is tight. He keeps his fist tight, which means he doesn't spend on his family. He said, marry so-and-so. He told her, marry so-and-so. So this is just a small example of when we are to use the tongue. We are to use the tongue in defending our brother and sister and aiding them. As the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said in the authority of Abu Darda, whoever protects the honor of his Muslim brother or sister, whoever protects the honor, the irz of his brother or sister, Allah will protect. رَبَّ اللَّهُ عَنْ وَجِهِهِ النَّارَ يَوْمَ الْقِيَامَةِ رواه الترمذي وقال حسن. Allah will protect his face from the fire on the day of resurrection. And we all know that if Allah protects you, no one can help you. 20,000 million Mike Tysons won't help you against Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. If Allah protects you, no one else can do anything against you. Whoever protects the honor of their brother, Allah himself has taken upon himself to protect your face from the fire, يوم القيامة. And this hadith is hasan. It's a good hadith collected by At-Tirmidhi. The fifth duty is forgiveness of mistakes and failings. Why? Simply because we are all human. The Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, "Man la yarham, la yurham." Whoever doesn't have mercy, whoever doesn't show mercy and forgiveness, will not be forgiven mercy. They will not be given mercy. "Man la yarham, la yurham." Simple, small statement, profound in meaning. If you don't show forgiveness and mercy to the one that Allah has given you as a gift, you will not be given mercy. You will not be shown forgiveness. The failing of your brother, according to Imam Ghazali in his book, will be of two kinds. Number one, either in religion through the commission of an offense, or in his duty to you through an omission in brotherhood. The sixth duty, which we discussed yesterday in the khutbah, is to pray for your brother and your sister in Islam. This is very, very important, brothers and sisters. We're talking about the duties of brother to another. Islamic brotherhood, to pray. Those of us who are former Christians, who reverted from Christianity to Islam. Remember, vividly, I'm sure we do, leaving the church, or even now as Muslims, we go past the church and we hear the sister Christian say, Sister Jones, pray for me please. Brother Avril, pray for me. But how much do we pray for each other? How much when the brother says, make dua for me, akhi. Sister, ukhti, make dua for me, please. I need it. When the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, when you make dua for your brother or sister in Islam, the angels make the same dua for you. And all the dua of the angels are accepted. That's not the part of the hadith, this is my statement. I'm saying that all the dua of the angels are accepted. Why? They can't do any wrong. They can only do good. And they're very close to Allah. You make dua for your brother, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he said, when you make dua for your brother in Islam, the angels in the heavens And no one, Allah says in the Quran, knows their junood. No one knows how many angels they are, but Allah. One hadith of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he said, just to give you an example of how many angels, just to put emphasis on who is making, how many are making dua for you. One hadith says that above, that near the seven heavens, there's a house called Baytul Ma'mur. And it's mentioned in the Quran, in one of the surahs of the Quran, when it says the frequented house. It says Baytul Ma'mur, the frequented house. The Prophet of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam said that these angels make tawaf just like the angel, just like we make tawaf around the Kaaba. And that this house is right above the Kaaba, and if it were to fall, it would fall directly on the Kaaba. The angels go into, 70,000 angels go into this house every day and don't come out. Every day, 70,000 angels. Another hadith with the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, authentic hadith, he said that for every raindrop that falls from the heavens, there's an individual angel that brings it down. If you make dua for your brother and sister, the angels will make dua for you. How many dua are you getting? May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala increase us in our zeal and love for the sunnah of Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. We have to pray for each other. This is a duty. If we are brothers and sisters in Islam, we are duty bound to make dua for each other. One of the relatives of Anas radiallahu anhu asked the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and said, make dua for Anas. He said, Allah, immediately he said, Allahumma qsum malahu wa waladuhu wa barakahu fima a'taytum. Immediately, when the woman asked, make dua for Anas, he said, Allahumma qsum malahu, oh Allah, increase him in his wealth. Allahumma qsum malahu wa waladuhu, and his children. Wa barak lahu fima a'taytahu, and bless him in whatever you give him. This was the dua he made for Anas. We should memorize this dua and say it for our brothers and sisters in Islam. And if we can't, think of something. Think of what you would want for yourself. And make dua. In his life and his death. In her life and her death. The seventh duty, Imam Ghazali says, is loyalty and sincerity. Loyalty and sincerity. Once again, this needs no explanation. He says the meaning of loyalty is steadfastness in love and maintaining it to the death. And maintaining it to the death with your brother. And after his death, you maintain it with his loved ones, his family and his friends. And definitely love is a gift from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. It's a gift. So we should have steadfastness, sincerity and loyalty. And the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, when he said, "Ad-deen al-nasih," ad-deen, the deen is nasiha. It is sincerity. It is giving good advice. And Imam Ghazali said, the eighth duty is relief from discomfort and inconvenience. And I'm sure that at least one brother or sister can come to our minds right now that is in dire straits, in inconvenience right now. We should rush to them to relieve this discomfort and to relieve this inconvenience. Why? Because the Prophet of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said in the English translation, Allah will help his servant as long as he helps his brother. Conditional. مَا دَانَ عَوْنُ الْأَخِي. He will continue to help his servant, the abd. And all of us are his ibad. We can't get away from that. All of us are his servants. He will continue to help his servant as long, in one condition. Not that you pay dues. No. Not that you run around Weekway Park and keep in shape. None of these things. As long as you help your brother. When you stop helping your brother, Allah stops helping you. Conditional. It's simple. You want the help of Allah? Help your brother and sister in Islam. We have a story, and we'll try to end it here. Not a story, but a statement of the great Imam we've been quoting from, Imam Ghazali. He said that the Muslim who is inconsiderate and not sensitive and not in tune with the feelings of his or her brother in Islam, the Muslim who doesn't even have the vibe, maybe I can use that word, that his brother or sister is inconvenienced or discomfort or something is troubling them, something is bothering them, he said, then that Muslim who is inconsiderate and not concerned and doesn't have enough tenderness or feeling for their brother and sister, he said, that Muslim, you need to take their body, wash it, shroud it, and make four takbirs because they are dead. Wash it, shroud it, that brother or sister, and make four takbirs, which is the janazah prayer, because they're dead. They can't be alive. How can they be alive and not concerned with their brother or sister? You know how your brother feels when he feels good. You know the signs on your sister's face when she feels good, and you know when something is troubling her. And you don't even ask her, what's wrong? What's wrong, Fatima? What's the problem? Please sit down and talk. Let's talk about it. What's wrong, Kareem? Something seems to be troubling you. Let alone, we don't even feel what they feel. We're so far apart that we don't even sense that something is wrong with them. The Ummah of Muhammad right now is in a dismal state. It's in a dismal state. If this is the condition, and it is the condition of the believers, right now, we are in bad shape. So I end this brief and hopefully beneficial talk with the one verse of Quran again. إِنَّمَا الْمُؤْمِنُونَ إِخْوَةً. That the believers, and remember what we said, this إِنَّمَا is مَقْصُور. It's مَحْصُور. It restricts. إِنَّمَا, they are only, the believers are only إِخْوَةً. They're only brothers. And this word إِخْوَةً here, once again, refers to male and female. Male and female, for those who may try to twist the meaning and say, oh, this is masculine, ikhwatun. This is masculine. No. This means male and female. Or somebody may say, it's feminine, it's talamar buta, it only means sisters. No. The believers are only but brothers. سبحانك وبحمدك أشهد أن لا إله إلا أنت وأستغفرك وأتوب إليك سبحان ربك رب العزة عما يصفون والسلام على المرسلين والحمد لله رب العالمين السلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته.
Thank you, brother Dawood Adib, for a most thought-provoking lecture. And I must say, in considering the subject that we are dealing with tonight, he presented it in a very inspiring manner. And I was particularly moved, and I'm going to discuss this while you are formulating your questions and passing them forward, because we'll only take written questions pertinent to the subject matter that was discussed here tonight. So you can use this time now to quickly formulate them and pass them up, and we'll get to as many as possible. I was particularly moved by our brother's use of Surah Al-Hujurat in outlining the duties of Muslims one to another, because I have been taught that Surah Al-Hujurat is like a constitution, a framework for Muslims' conduct toward each other. And let's just review some of the things our brother said. He said, or the surah says, make peace and reconciliation between two contending parties. Don't deride, make fun, or laugh at each other. And don't defame each other. Don't call each other by offensive nicknames. Avoid suspecting one another and spying on each other. And don't speak ill of each other. Now, these are things that are really important to formulating good feelings between one another. And this is what he indicated that we need in our society today, amongst Muslims today. A good feeling amongst each other. Actually, your brother and sister, you should be quite happy for them. You should be always on the lookout for their welfare, because they can help you to attain Jannah. And how? It's because you see them doing a good thing, and you want to follow them in making, doing a good thing also. And this actually is, as I was taught, the only area in which you can compete lawfully with your brother and sister. And that is in the area of taqwa. And if we could only understand what taqwa means, and that's the subject of another lecture, because we could go on and on and on. But if we could only understand what taqwa means, we would be much better off. Maybe we'll have that subject in another lecture in the future, inshallah. So if we have any questions now, we should get to them, because the time is marching on. And I would like to thank again Brother Dawood Adib for giving us this thought-provoking and inspiring lecture about brotherhood and our duties toward each other. And we hope that we can take the information that he has presented to us tonight and instantly translate it into positive action in our daily lives. Our first question looks like it's in two parts, and it's asked, please explain what is meant by that we were made into tribes and nations. I think he explained that before, but maybe we can go over it again quickly while we're passing forth the question.
Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim. The meaning of this particular verse, the ultimate meaning of this particular verse, is known by Allah and only Allah. Because I'm not a scholar of tafsir, I'm going to safely say I don't know what the meaning of this verse is, which is half of knowledge. But from what I read from those who know more than me, those who are scholars of tafsir, it means just that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has made us into nations and tribes. Some of us are of African descent, some of us are of Asian descent, some of us are of European descent. And simply that. And I suggest, alhamdulillah, we now have many people working for Islam diligently, trying to translate and write books, translate from Arabic into English and write books. And for those who want to get, who do not have the ability to read the tafsir in Arabic, it just so happens that our brother Bilal Phillips, who resides in Riyadh, Saudi Arabia, has just written and published and is now for sale the tafsir of this particular surah, Surah Al-Hujurat. So I would recommend that you go and you purchase this book and you can read it. It's a very, very good book. He's the same brother who wrote this book, Ansar Cult. And he explains from the first verse to the last verse, Surah Al-Hujurat. And you can get a more complete meaning of this particular verse.
The second part of the question is really a positive question. I mean, it gives us something that we can really sink our teeth into. And the question is, what are some of the techniques for not getting angry with our brother and our sister? Can you give us some insight onto that?
According to the message of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and you can ask the imam here or your respective imams for the reference and where these hadiths can be found. I'm sure they know them. And one hadith, he said that we should sit down. When you become angry, just sit down. And it's not easy, very difficult to be angry when you're standing and then you sit down to remain angry. Try it. I know that it works. Why do I know that it works? Because the hadith, once again, the hadith of the Messenger of Allah is a part of revelation. And this is a divinely inspired way to take care of all the solutions, all the problems that we have for our daily lives, for all human beings. So if the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, when you become angry, sit down, I know that it works. I have no doubt in it. And he said, if you're sitting, then lie. If that doesn't work, then lie down. Can you imagine standing in the middle of a growing market, angry, screaming and howling, just lie down on the ground?
Not only will it work, you'll look real stupid. You won't be, you may start laughing. You won't be angry anymore. And another hadith, the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, make wudu. He said, why? Because shaitan is created from fire, anger comes from shaitan, and water extinguishes fire. And those are the only three ways I know of from the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam in techniques in dealing with anger.
Alhamdulillah. The next question is, could you explain when suspicion becomes halal?
Excuse me, I just remembered another one. He said, say, a'udhu billahi min ash-shaytan wa rajim. Of course, because this is from shaitan, this anger is from shaitan. Thank you.
Okay, could you give us some additional instances when suspicion might become halal?
We gave them. Oh no, we gave for backbiting. One back. Suspicion can become halal. There's a couple of ways. One of them that comes to my mind is closely connected with what may lead up to the halal form of backbiting. For instance, a person seems like they're using drugs. May Allah keep us away from that. All types. And just a special note, everything that intoxicates is haram. Not just wine and beer. Everything that intoxicates is haram. According to the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. You may suspect someone is using or have suspicions that some Muslim brother or sister is using narcotics or khamr of any type. What do? We call them. We give them dawah. We confront them, not by asking them, brother, are you using crack? Sister, are you doing so and so? No. We can visit them or someone who is close to them, and by various ways, we can tell. But we should keep these thoughts in our heart. We shouldn't spread it if we have these suspicions. And we should ask Allah, if we have these suspicions, number one, because these things are interrelated, make dua for them. Oh Allah, if my suspicions are correct, help them to remove this problem from them. Instead of just going to them and say, but I know you're drinking. Because there are some, no, really, there's some candies or some food items that smells like liquor. And you may be sad and mistaken. We should always put the best construction on this gift called brother and sister. Make dua for them. If you suspect it, make dua. Oh Allah, if it is true, please remove it from them. And if it is not true, strengthen them. Increase their iman. And make them even a better Muslim than they are now. And there are other techniques. But I think through reading the Quran and reading the life of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, we can gain these techniques on how to deal with suspicion. And once again, we can refer to this brother's book, Bilal Phillips, and he may give some suggestions on how to deal with this suspicion. And Allah knows best.
Barakallahu feek. We have another question here that asks, when a brother or sister asks a Muslim for forgiveness, are they obligated to forgive them?
The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, لا يرحم من لا يرحم لا يرحم. Whoever doesn't show mercy, whoever doesn't show forgiveness, will not be given forgiveness or mercy. I think the hadith explains it. I think that if the person asks for forgiveness, I think the person who is being asked, because that's their brother or sister in Islam, they need to accept the forgiveness and say, yes, I forgive you. This is my personal opinion on this. And my personal opinion is not worth two dead flies in a snowstorm.
This next question, I think, is going to need some clarification. It asks, could you please clarify the example of brotherhood by divorcing your wife? And I think it goes back to what was said, portion of what was said in the lecture. What about the wife in question? Does she have any say-so in the matter regarding the hadith where one brother divorces his wife to offer to another brother? And aren't there certain conditions under which Muslims divorce?
Well, once again, the brother and sister who are married, they are brothers and sisters in Islam. That should be emphasized. They are brothers and sisters in Islam. When we look at the verses of divorce, and we don't want to make this a fiqh, this discussion, a discussion of fiqh. But when we look at the verses of divorce throughout the Quran, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, At-talaqu marratan. That talaq, divorce, must be pronounced twice. He said, فَإِمْسَاكُمْ بِمَعْرُوفٍ أَوْ تَسْرِيحٌ بِإِحْسَانٍ. And that they must be retained in honor or released in kindness. فَإِمْسَاكُمْ بِمَعْرُوفٍ أَوْ تَسْرِيحٌ بِإِحْسَانٍ. They must be retained in honor or released in kindness. This is brotherhood. This is sisterhood. She's still your sister in Islam. Though you're divorcing her, there may be some incompatibility. Allah knows best. So you have to separate, whatever the problem may be. But like the man who didn't want to talk about his wife and had been his sister after he divorced her, this brother is still your brother. When he discontinues being your husband, he still remains your brother. That one you won't be able to get rid of. That's something to keep in our mind. You can divorce him as your husband, but you can't divorce him as your brother. You can divorce her as your sister, as your wife, but you cannot divorce her as your sister in Islam. That remains. What about the wife in question? I don't fully understand it, but I hope what I just said answers it. If the sister or the brother who said this, maybe they can clarify it.
Did the wife have anything to say that when she was offered to Abdul Rahman anything else?
This wasn't mentioned. I don't know. I don't know if she had anything to say when he offered her to him, but I know that he didn't accept her. So we don't have to get into what she said or what she thought. Alhamdulillah for that. The rest of the question is, are there any conditions under which Muslims divorce? That's a topic. That's another topic. Inshallah, we'll try to stick to brotherhood in Islam.
The next question I have is what if you're joking with someone and you call them something outside of their name? Is this wrong also?
The Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, first of all, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has forbade lying. He said, إِنَّ الصَّدْقَ يَهْدِي إِلَى الْبِرِّ وَإِنَّ الْبِرَّ يَهْدِي إِلَى الْجَنَّةِ. And in the same hadith, he said, إِنَّ الْكَذْبِ يَهْدِي إِلَى الْفُجُورِ وَإِنَّ الْفُجُورُ يَهْدِي إِلَى النَّارِ. He said, truth leads to piety. And piety leads to the paradise. And in the same hadith, he says, lying leads to vice, and vice leads to the fire. The Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam also said and forbade us from lying of all types, even when you're joking. He said, waylun lah, waylun lah, woe to him, woe to her who lies by telling jokes just to make people laugh. So lying is serious. It's a major sin in Islam, even if you're joking. And this should also, as a special note, keep us mindful of those comedians on television who lie to make people laugh. It's haram. It's haram. So how much more or less is calling your brother or sister something out of their name or character? And this is not their name or character. If it is a slip of the tongue, we should seek refuge with Allah. But if it's intentional, we should also seek refuge with Allah and His protection and His forgiveness. And Allah knows best.
Um, Aren't there any more questions? I have some questions here, but they don't really deal with the subject matter at hand. The sisters finished bringing their questions forward or passing their questions forward? No more questions. Everybody has understood the subject matter, and they don't need any further explanation on it. Alhamdulillah. Alhamdulillah. Well, being that is the case, we'd like to thank you for your coming out and participation tonight with us in this lecture series, Islam in Perspective. It's obvious by the questions that your thoughts were provoked, and we pray to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that you can take the information back and use it in your lives beginning immediately. As you know, this Islam in Perspective series is an ongoing thing, so keep in touch with us. We'll be having further installments on this lecture series, and we present this to be an aid to the Muslims, not just to give da'wah to non-Muslims. The first da'wah we have to give is to the Muslims themselves, and that's the subject that we talked about a month ago in the last subject that was given, da'wah in Islam. That is given to the Muslims themselves so they can be prepared to take the message to those who are non-Muslim. So, inshallah, what we have done tonight and what we will do in the future and what we have done in the past will be a facilitation toward this end. So keep in touch with us, and we will let you know as the programs develop when they will be and what the subject matter will be. I think that we are still selling dinners downstairs. Inshallah, if the food hasn't run out, you can still purchase them if you haven't. Will the bookstore be open after Maghrib Salah? Inshallah, where you can get more information on Islam. And incidentally, we do have copies of that book that the brother he was mentioned that's in Saudi Arabia, the Ansar cult. We don't have the other one on Surah Al-Hujurat, although I've been urging the brother to order it. Inshallah, we will have that in the future. But we do have the one on the Ansar cult in stock, so you can stop by and get that book. So, without any further talk, we should mention before we end that this is being taped in video and in audio. And we might have some of the audio available for you tonight, that you can take it home and you can give it to your brothers and sisters so they can share this information. And inshallah, in the future, the video will be available for your purchase. So the only other thing that we have left is to end this lecture with a short dua, and we ask the brother to perform that for us and to take us out so we can get ready for Maghrib Salah.
ربنا لا تؤاخذنا إن نسينا أو أخطأنا ربنا ولا تحمل علينا إصرا كما حملته على الذين من قبلنا ربنا ولا تحملنا ما لا طاقة لنا به واعف عنا واغفر لنا وارحمنا أنت مولانا فانصرنا على القوم الكافرين سبحانك وبحمدك نشهد أن لا إله إلا أنت وأستغفرك وأتوب إليك السلام عليكم